One second. Okay. Okay, well, good morning. Good to have so many here this morning. Good to see so many adults here, and good to see so many children here. There may be a few others that may be coming in as we go forward. Now, how many boys are here? Raise your hand. Boys, boys, boys. Okay, good, good. Okay, good. How many girls are here? We got four in the front row here, a couple others. So we're going to memorize this verse, but I want to warn you, before we get into our lesson, we're going to do a little quiz. We're going to do a little a boy against girl quiz. Just see who's been listening the better. And it's going to be on day one and day two's lesson. And so we're going to do a little quiz, and see how that goes. That should be a lot of fun. Now, we have got a great verse. How many have memorized this verse for today already? Already? Look at those hands go up, Harold. That's pretty amazing. Now, I was walking around looking at name tags, and I was amazed to see some on day three today, and we haven't even done the verse yet, have all five memorized, have five stickers on their name tag. So how many have five stickers? Oh, one, two, all four? All four girls have five stickers. I've got to catch up. Oh, we've got a girl back here. Lois, five stickers. They memorized all the verses. We got to have some more verses next year, Harold. We got to have another sheet. You got to keep up. How about four stickers? I know some had four. I saw some. Good. I only have a measly two. I'm way behind, Harold. I've got to really catch up. But very good. You guys are really memorizing a lot of verses. How about the adults? I see these adults memorizing verses. A lot of them have stickers. And so that is very, very, very good. Well, let's memorize this verse this morning. This is a verse from the book of Acts. It's a very good verse. Very good verse. So, are you ready? I'm going to say the verse, and then after I say it one time, then we'll say it together. So it says, "But now he has commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness." Acts 17:31. Very, very good. Now, first of all, he's commanded. God's commanded. Very strong language. He doesn't say it's an option. He doesn't say maybe it's a good idea. Very strong. God says he's commanded. And then he says men, but he means all people, men and women, boys and girls, everywhere, North America, United States, the entire world, to repent. That means to repent and believe, because he's appointed a day he will judge. We talked about that yesterday, its consequences. God will judge the world in righteousness. Okay, let's say it together. Okay, let's say it nice and clear and loud. But now he has commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. Acts 17:31. Very, very, very good. Okay. We are going to pop a balloon. So anybody in the first row want to pop a balloon? I think you want to pop one.
Good job.
He jumped up. Ooh. Was that a loud one, Lise? That was pretty loud. Okay, very good. Okay, let's say it again. But now he's commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. Acts 17:31. Okay, row two. Who's going up? I can't see her hair. It's over her name tag. Can't see her name tag. Let's go, Selena. You come up. You want her to come up?
My sister wants to go.
Oh, you want to go? We'll get you later. We'll get you later. Okay, Selena. Thank you very much. Let's say it again. But now he has commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. Acts 17:31. Third row. These boys in the third row. And Isabella. He's done it already. Who hasn't done it on this row? Matthew hasn't done it. Matthew. Okay. Come on, Matthew. Okay. Thank you very much, Matthew. Okay. Let's say it again. But now he has commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day he will judge the world in righteousness. Acts 17:31. Okay. Fourth row. Who hasn't popped the balloon? Look at the names here. Roger. Okay, let's get Roger. Very good, Roger.
Thank you.
Oh, it's getting harder and harder. All the balloons are being popped. But now he's commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which will judge the world in righteousness. Acts 17:31. Very good. Okay. Who else in the back? I can't see everybody in the back. Who else wants to pop a balloon? Who else? How about Lois? Did Lois pop one? Lois, would you like to come up? You did it already?
Oh, they want to do it together.
Oh, you want to do it? Okay.
We can each do one.
Okay, that's... We can do that. We can do anything here.
You can go first.
You can pop two of them. Pop two. Another one.
Oh,
you want to
let
Oh, you do one. Is that the one you want? You can do it. Okay. Thank you. Okay, let's say the verse.
But now
he has commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Acts 17:31. Okay, we're back to the front row here. So Eleanor, would you like to do one? You might have, Dad has
can
to lift reach? You up, I think. I don't know.
I can help you.
Yeah.
Can you reach it?
I need to pop the
ball. Oh, you don't
want to? You?
Should Daddy do it?
A little shy.
Let me
okay. Whoops.
Oopsie.
Here it is. Watch out. Your head. Okay. You can reach it?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
There you go. Oh, I don't know. Can you say it now? That's okay. No,
that's
let's
right. You leave it.
There.
Leave it on the ground.
We're not
on the ground. Okay. Well, can we all say it? But now God has commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. Acts 17:31. Excellent. Very, very good. Okay. Time for Faith to take her students. And those 4 years old, or the young ones up to 7 years old. Okay, so we're going to have a little quiz. We're going to start with the girls first. If the girls cannot answer the question goes to the boys. And then we have a boys' question, and the boys can't answer the question, it goes to the girls.
Okay.
So we're going to start with the first day of our lesson. We're going to be easy questions. If you really, you get all the easy questions, I'm going to make it a little hard. Now, the first day, how many prophets of Baal were there? Girls, how many prophets of Baal were there? 400 is correct. 400 is correct. Okay. Boys, when Elijah came to prepare his sacrifice, what did he pour on top of his sacrifice first? What did he pour upon his sacrifice? Boys, just raise your hand. Don't worry. Water is correct. Now, very, very good. Okay. Very, very good. So, let's see, that's two questions we've asked. We're going to ask three each. Okay. Back to the girls. So, the prophets of Baal begin to pray to their God. Their God did not listen, did not hear, did not do anything. What did the prophets of Baal do to themselves, hoping that their God will listen? How about back here? Lois, you know anybody in the back row? Girls back there? Anywhere else? What did they do? They cut their arms. That's what they did. That's very good. I like this, Harold, because you see they're listening. This is very good. Okay, boys. Okay, let's see. Another question for the boys. Okay, let's go to the next day, our lesson we had yesterday. Okay, lesson we had yesterday. How did he travel to the well where he was going to meet a woman? Remember? How did he travel? How did most people travel? How did Jesus travel? How did most people who are Jewish travel? And how did Jesus travel? Boys. Oh, let's see. John, you got your hand up first, I think.
Most people go around Samaria, but yep.
He went directly through Samaria. Very, very, very good. Okay. I think I got to raise it a little harder because I'm not, they're getting it too easily. Or they're listening really well. One more question for the girls and one more question for the boys. Okay. What was one of the first things that Jesus addressed, Jesus spoke about to the woman at the well? Girls, one of the first things he wanted to speak to them about, speak to her about. Ooh. Remember? First thing he wanted to talk to her about. First thing he said, he asked for water from her, but then he began to talk about something else. Do you know? Say it again. Yes, very good. About her sin in her life. Very good. Okay. Boys. Very good. Boys. Okay. Let's see if you get this answer. I showed a picture on the first day about a lightning strike that came down. It's a two-part question. What did that lightning strike do and where did it take place? What did that lightning do and where did it take place? So we have Samuel stand up, I think. Oh, you only know the first part? Only the first part? Okay, what's the first part?
It struck down
and it burst into flames. Where did it take place? He's going to answer part two. Say it again. It took place in Florida. Oh, it took place in my hometown. My hometown. Okay, very good. Good, good. You guys answered. You guys were very, very good. Okay. Let's go into our lesson. Let's go into our lesson for today. And today, our lesson is about, it's on the screen, will God judge my sin? Will God judge my sin? And so, think about something. What do you think? I got an email this morning from a person in my church, my chapel. Her husband had committed a crime and went before a judge in Georgia. Did something wrong. He got judged. The judge gave a sentence, 10 years. 10 years in prison. He's only 25 years old. 10 years in prison. If we do wrong, God will judge us. Now, is it a good thing? Is it a good thing that God judges sin? Sometimes we think if it's me, it's a bad thing. But if it's a person who did a bad thing, should he be judged? If someone came in and really hurt you, harmed you, stole from you, did something very bad, he goes for the judge, and the judge will say, oh, that's not important. No, you want him to bring justice, right? You want justice for very bad people. You want, that's the right thing, to bring justice. And so God does that. Will God judge my sin? Yes, he will. Judges judge wrong in this world. Courts will judge what's wrong in this world. Because it's the right thing to do. Justice is the right thing. Now, we looked at this for these verses yesterday, but it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. We learned today this verse. It says, God has commanded man everywhere to repent because God has appointed a man to judge them in righteousness. Now, God will judge in righteousness. Now, we don't want bad judges, do we? We don't want judges who are corrupt, but we want fair judges, judges who are righteous, judges who are good. But it says here, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the second one says the wages of sin is death. You build up sin after sin after sin, and there's a judgment. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Sin has consequences. In this world, sin has consequences. And sin will have consequences for us eternally. If we do not come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it has eternal consequences. The Bible says, it's appointed once for a man to die. And then the judgment. It'll be a judgment. You know, when I was around your age, you need to think about this. When I was about your, around your age, I'll tell you a story. How many know what the rapture is? You know what the rapture is? The rapture is when the Lord will come down from heaven and take all Christians up to heaven to be with him. One day, I was about 10 years old. It was in the evening, and I came home from playing outside, and I came home, and I came into the kitchen, and there were two coffee cups filled with coffee, kind of hot. No one had taken from the coffee cups. I looked for my mother and father. They weren't in the kitchen. They weren't in the living room. So I went up So I went up to the bedroom. They weren't in the bedroom. I went to look for my older sister. She wasn't there. Went to look for my younger sister. She wasn't there. So you know what I did? I went down, went downstairs, sat on the couch. And I thought to myself, I knew a little bit about the rapture. I thought to myself, I'm not a Christian. I'm left behind, and I'm going to be judged for my sins. Now, I was right about that. I was right about one thing. I wasn't a Christian, and I'll be judged for my sins. I was wrong about the rapture, because a little while later, my parents came back. But I was right about judgment. If you're not a Christian, sin has consequences, and the Bible says there'll be judgment. It says in Hebrews, it's appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. And then the verse that we read today, or we learned today, God has appointed a day, he'll judge the world in righteousness. He's commanded all men to repent. He doesn't want anyone to be judged. But those who do not come and have their sins forgiven, he must judge them. God must be just. He must do right. And so he sent his son to take our judgment. He made a way that we don't become judged. We don't have punishment because his son has borne that punishment. There's a verse in the Bible that says this, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned each one to his own way. God the Father laid all of our sins upon his son. The Lord laid our iniquity, our sin, upon his son. He paid the penalty for all of our sins. And so he invites us to come. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, he offers to us the gift of God to receive it and not have to be judged for our sins. Let me ask you, what would happen to you? Would you be judged, or would you go to heaven and not be judged? That's a great question. Would you be judged? I thought to myself, when I was younger, I heard the gospel. My parents were Christians. I went to Daily Vacation Bible School like this. I had a number of Bibles in my bedroom. I knew so much about the Bible. I knew so much about God, but I rejected him. And I didn't believe. And I didn't have my sins forgiven. And I remember thinking to myself, I'll be like this person. I will be judged. I will be judged. And one day began to really come home to me. I realized I'm lost and I will be judged for my sins. What about you? Do you know, have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith? You believe on him. There's a day. Book of Revelation says there's going to be a day where there's a throne. And the small and the great, those who are of lesser positions in the world, those who are of great positions in the world, they'll stand before God. And the books are opened. And a book of works is opened. You know, if God looked at our lives, what would he see? If others would look at our lives, what would they see? He says the books are opened, and we're going to be judged out of the things that are in the books. But those who come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has taken those sins. He has borne them for us in our place. So that's the question. Where will you be when God judges the world? He says he's appointed a day that he'll judge the world. That's a very serious thing, very fearful thing. This case I told you about that I heard about today, this man who confessed to this crime, he's very afraid, very fearful. He's very fearful of going to prison for probably 10 years, very fearful of it. I'd be very afraid too. I wouldn't want to go to prison. He tried every way to somehow get out of that situation. But this is a much more fearful thing. Where will you be if God judged, when God judges the world? We learned, it says, God commands men everywhere to repent. Don't be judged. Repent, because it's appointed a day where he will judge the world. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that. I believe he will judge the world one day. I believe it with all my heart. I believed it when I was a young person. It was something I did not doubt. I knew it in my heart. So the question to you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, if you're an older person here, if you're a younger person here, one day, God has to be just. So let's think about our story for today. Story today is about Noah. And this is a depiction of Noah. We don't know what he looked like exactly. And it says that he was a righteous man. And God had favor upon Noah. And God speaks to Noah and he says to Noah that the world and the people of the world have become exceedingly sinful. And he says he's going to judge the world. He's going to destroy the world and create a new world through a flood. So he tells Noah to build an ark. But look at this picture. As he's building the ark, the Bible says that he's a preacher. He's a preacher of righteousness. And as he's building the ark, he's preaching to his world. He's preaching to the people that lived around him and that came to see him. He told them about judgment that would come. He told them how to escape judgment. And there would be enough room for them on the ark. What do you think they're doing as he's speaking? The one on the left. Not the one in the blue, the one in the brown. What do you think when he hears this message from Noah, he's laughing. He's laughing at him. He's laughing at his message. They're mocking him as he preaches about the right message, about what is true. But he builds his ark. Animals come into the ark, all kinds of animals. We'll see how large this ark is. You know, in the United States, in the state of Kentucky, they have a replica, as much as possible, a replica of Noah's Ark. Has anybody been there? A lot of American Christians have been there. I have been there. And it's about 1.5 American football. You've seen American football, how big that is? That's 300 yards. It's about 1.5. It's 500 and about 1 foot long. It's very wide. It's a very large, boat. So here, he brings all the animals in because God told them that. And he builds this great ark. Look what's happening. It looks like a boy throwing stones and then mocking and yelling and insulting Noah and his huge, huge boat. This is a depiction of how large it is inside. It had 3 floors inside the ark. So think of 3 football fields and a half in that ark. They had food enough for over a year that they were in that ark. Food for the animals, food for all the people, and enough food. Now we know only 8 people went into the ark, but we know there was room enough for many, many more, food enough for many, many more. Here's the building of this ark. We don't know exactly what it looked like. Maybe it looked like this. Maybe it looked a little bit different, but something like this. With long and flat and low to the ground, and it could float through all different kinds of rough seas. So building the ark, and one of the things about the ark, we'll see it a bit, the door to the ark. See the door of the ark? I think the door of this ark, what do you think? It's a little small. I think it's a little small, Harold. I think it was much wider. Much wider. The one, the depiction in the United States has a very wide door. Very, very wide door. Now, Noah had said, he preached and he built for a long, long time. He spoke to these people for a long, long time. Now, if we go to our Bibles, just for time's sake, we're not going to do it, but I'm going to mention it to you. Before the rain came, when it was all finished, you know what Noah did? He preached for a long time, invited everybody to come to the ark, to believe in God, and to come onto the ark. Door was open, all the animals were inside, but you know what happened? He waited seven more days. He waited seven more days. Now, why did he do that? Why do you think Noah waited? Everything was ready. Everything was done. I think it's chapter 7 of Genesis, verse 10 or verse 11. He waited seven more days. Why do you think he did that? He did it to give a chance to anyone else who wants to walk up that ramp and be saved and go into that ark. 7 days. 1 day passed. 2 day passed. Not one person went in. As far as we know, not one person ever went in. But the opportunity was there. The offer was there. Everything was ready for them to be saved and go into the ark. But no one came. And then it says, very fearfully, you know what it says in verse 25? I think chapter 7, verse 25. It says this, and God shut the door. Is that fearful? God slammed the door shut after 7 days. And no one else could get in, and the rains began to fall. And people began to go to higher ground. They go up to the mountains, they go to where it's higher, and the water got higher and higher. And pretty soon it covered the entire world. And there's no way to escape. People who mocked, people who laughed, judgment fell. Just like the Bible said in the verse we learned today. But God has appointed a day in which he'll judge the earth. God has commanded men everywhere to repent. He doesn't want men to be judged. He wants them to come in and be saved. He doesn't want to have to bring judgment. But he has to be just. And the ark was above all the mountains, above all the earth, for about 150 days, and the rain began to stop, and then it took about another 150 days for the rain to recede, for the water to recede upon the earth. And finally, it landed on the earth. But here's a question. Have you entered the door of salvation? Have you entered the door of salvation? I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell two stories. One is about a man I went to high school with. He was on my basketball team. I played high school basketball. His name was George Black. And I became a Christian in college. And I went home to where I lived, and I began to work. I worked on Wall Street. I worked right across from the World Trade Center. I crashed down through in 2001. But I decided to go into the prison, and they had a prison ministry. I decided to go in and help and have an outreach in prison. So I'm in the prison. I'm only about 25 years old, 24 years old, in the prison. We're going through the prison hallways. And I'm going one direction. I'm going up this direction. And someone is mopping floors and coming down this direction. And he sees me and he turns around and I see him. And it's my friend, George Black. He was in prison. He had done something wrong. I won't tell you what it is. Done something wrong, and he'd be in prison for a long time. He came from a wealthy family. His father was a doctor. I knew his brother. But he'd be in prison for a long time. He was judged. He was judged for something he did. He was found out for what he had done. And he was judged. That's what happens in the world. Another story. True story. True account. One day it rained and rained and rained around where I lived in New Jersey. Anybody know where New Jersey is? It's in the United States on the East Coast, right by New York City. It rained and rained and rained, and our front lawn, we had a small front lawn, was really full of water. If you stepped on it, it would sink into the ground. One night, we had just planted a little sapling. You know what a sapling is? It's a little young tree. This particular tree just was really like a stick. Didn't have many branches on it. We would hope it would grow. It did grow. Now it's a very large tree. But there was a man during the night with his car. He thought he would play a trick, a prank. He decided to take his car and drive over our front lawn. And he put these huge ruts in the grass on the front lawn. We came out in the morning, we saw these deep. All through the, from came from one end and went to the other end. We thought, who would do this kind of thing? We thought, how would we ever find out who it was to have them come and repair it, fix it, do something? This is really very wrong. But we noticed something. We went outside, we noticed something. As he drove across, I suppose he didn't put his license plate on very, very well. But that sapling, he ran over that sapling, and part of that branch got underneath that license and pulled it off. It's laying on the ground. Laying on the ground. I think that man, he was a guy about 20 years old. I think he thought no one's going to ever find out. He wouldn't have done it. He would have done it if he thought he would be found out. But he was found out. Went to the police, took the license plate, found out who it was. And he had to repair it and pay for the damages. Didn't go to jail, but he was found out. Have you entered the door of salvation? Because the Bible says there's appointed a day in which God will judge those who don't come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The ark landed. And there was a sacrifice that was offered. I want to close our time this morning by going over the ABCs of the gospel. I hope by the end of this week we'll all understand how we can be saved. That's the most important thing. How do we go about being saved? The Bible says Paul says to the Philippian jailer, he says, what must I do to be saved? And he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou wilt be saved. The ABCs are this. We have to acknowledge we have a need. We acknowledge that we are sinners. Acknowledge we've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Acknowledge we have a need. It's like a man who is drowning. He has a need. He needs someone to save him. First thing is that we acknowledge we've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second thing is we believe in what Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary, that he died for us. He paid the penalty for our sins. He bore them on the cross. The judgment that we should receive, he took it. The judgment of eternity in hell, he bore that. He took all of those sins. And then he says, take this step of faith, confess, A, admit. B, believe. C, confess. Say to the Lord Jesus in prayer, I want to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Do you want to be saved? You want to have your sins forgiven? Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. I want to encourage you, if you've never prayed and asked to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, as many as received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God, those who believe on his name. I encourage you, do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Our God and Father, we thank you for our time this morning. Yes, Father, the bad news, there's bad news. The bad news is God has appointed a day in which he'll judge the world. Judgment is right and fair and just. But on the other hand, he has provided a way of escape. He's provided an ark for us. He's provided for us someone who has borne our judgment in our place. And we pray, Father, if there's anyone here who's not trusted Christ as their Savior, they would come today and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray this and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again, David. Good to see Trevor here. Trevor, you just take over, please, and tell us what you can. Thank you. The children are just coming down, so give us a half a minute, and they'll all be in position for you. Okay, very good. Go ahead, Trevor.
Well, hello again from Morningstar Bible Camp, and we're here to show you another gospel illustration. This gospel illustration is going to involve three sets of cards, and this gospel illustration is called Once I Was Lost and Now I Am Found. Now my assistant, Claire, is going to choose one of these piles of cards, and she can choose any of the three cards, and she's going to put it on the bottom and then place it on top of another stack. And she's going to show you the card, and I'm not going to look. And tell me when she's done, because I can't see. Okay, so, and now she's going to pick any other card that's in the whole deck of cards and tell it to me.
Nine of clubs.
She's picked the nine of clubs. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to spell N-I- N-E-O-F-C-L-U-B-S. Do you think that card is lost now? It should be, except now it is F-O-U-N-D. Is that your card?
Yep.
Was that her card? Now, Jesus, he wants to find you. He looks for people individually. And so there's a story in Luke chapter 15 where Jesus tells three stories, one about a lost sheep, one about a lost coin, and one about a lost son. And every time when the sheep was found, they rejoiced. When the coin was found, they rejoiced. And when the son was found, they rejoiced. You know, everybody can say John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But beloved, only a few can say the son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, God looked for the sheep individually. God looked for the lost coin individually. God looked for the lost son individually. And he calls people individually. And so today, if you would hear his voice and not harden your heart, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to trust Jesus as your one and only Savior. And you will be found. The Lord bless you this morning.
Amen. So you keep telling us, Trevor, that there is a reason why you can do that. But we're not very smart. We haven't figured it out yet. So we like the application, though. We're thrilled that the Lord Jesus Christ has never lost anything. And he's never lost anybody who wants to be found. What a wonderful thing. And the Lord Jesus Christ will find you and make you his own child and take you to heaven if you will. A. Admit that you're a sinner. B. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. C. Confess that he is your Lord. You tell him. And you tell others, and let the Lord bless you. So that's our time this morning. We're going to just give thanks for the snack, and then we'll head out and get something to eat, and then we'll go to our class, or to our activities after that. Lord, we thank you. There's something about these illusions, Lord. In each case, we don't really understand all that goes on. All we know is that when Trevor does the illusion, it works. Now, Lord, the fact is that we don't understand how Jesus can forgive our sins. We're thankful that he died in order to pay the price, but we don't understand all that. And we certainly don't know how he's going to take us to heaven, because we can only jump so high. And how he can take us all the way up to his heaven, we don't know. But Lord, we're thankful that it works. We're thankful that God is so big, he can do what we can't understand. All we know, Lord, is we have big need, we're lost. Jesus said, if you believe me, you can be found. And we say, Lord, that's what I want. Would you find me, please? We say, Lord, I want to admit I'm a sinner. I want to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to confess Jesus as my Savior. Lord, save me, we would pray. So, thank you, Lord, we're going to have a snack. Thank you for those who provided it for us. Thank you for those who help us through all this daily vacation Bible school, Lord. We got lots of good workers. We thank you for everyone. We thank you for each of those who are coming as students and as seekers. We thank you for all the children, all the parents. Lord, would you bless us, everyone, we pray. We give thanks now for your provisions. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.